So we start the Perek Hey. Basically, in this Perek, the Ramchal deals with the obstacles that stand in the way of acquiring the attitude of Zahiris, awareness, watchfulness, and not only that, but even after a person already acquires the Midah of Zahiris, there are things that in a person's life that could cancel out even those positive attitudes that one has already acquired by some of the things that he enumerates over here. And as we'll see, that he basically enumerates that there are three things, three obstacles that basically would cancel a person's, even if he already acquired the Midah of Zahiris, and certainly they would stand in the way as obstacles preventing him from acquiring it. And the three things is, one, as we'll see, is a person merely being too busy in the stream of life to allow himself from thinking about his spiritual life. This is one of the things that stand in the way of acquiring the Midah of Zahiris, awareness. The second thing is the attitude of ridicule and laughter. It's honest. And taking things very lightly. And the third item that he points out is, simply put, wrong company. Being in the wrong environment. All of these things have a tremendous effect on a person on the negative side to prevent the person from reaching any lofty level in his Avodas Hashem. So as we take a look here, Ramchal here, Perek Hey, as he starts out, Bibir, this is the beer of the Mafsidei HaZehirus V'Ha'achoka Mehem. He's basically going to tell us about the various factors that simply that they undermine one's awareness and how to avoid them, how to avoid these things that undermine a person's kinyan in his Avodas Hashem of Zahiris. And he goes on to say, Hine mafsidei hamidah hazois u'marchikeiha mishloisha. That basically that there are three factors, he says, that would prevent a person, either that they would cancel it, that would be mafsid, or marchikeiha, which would distance a person from attaining it. Ho'echad, one, the first item, that basically that would undermines a person's ability to be kind of the midah of Zahiris, of awareness. And that is, he says, hatipul v'hatir de'hoilomis. Quite simply, the fact that a person is too preoccupied in his worldly matters. Tipul v'hatir de'hoilomis. Being simply too much involved in worldly matters, preoccupied. Hasheni says the second thing is, haschoik v'halotzoi. We're talking about laughter, ridicule, and so on. Taking things lightly. Hashlishi, and the third thing is hachevro haro, bad company. Now that he has delineated the three items, as he points out that he will discuss each one individually, as he goes on to say, unedaber bohem echod leechod, and therefore he says we will discuss each one in turn. And therefore he starts with the first one. Hine, first of all, he says hatipul v'hatirde, regarding that which we have mentioned, he says, that if someone is too preoccupied, he's too involved in worldly matters, that this is something that undermines a person's ability to acquire the midah of Zahiris, awareness, and so on. The truth is, he said, it was touched upon already above. Kvar debarnu mehen lamalo. This is something that we already discussed previously. Ki bihiyoyso odom torud biinyone oilomoi. Because when a person is preoccupied with worldly matters, so then in such a situation it means hine machshevoisov asurois bezike hamaso ashaleim. It means that simply that this constrains and it constricts his thought process, because a person's mind cannot be on too many things at the same time. And certainly if the focus of one's mind is on worldly matters, this will prevent his mind to be able to focus on things that are really important. And therefore, as a matter of fact, if you notice the Loshon, he says, Machshevois of Asurois. Asuras is pointed out in some of the Mefarshim on the Ramachal. Asuras means from Loshen being bound or being imprisoned. When a person actually becomes so connected and preoccupied with worldly matters, he is sort of like he's in a prison, which means that it's difficult for him even to change his way of life and to be able to loosen himself from the shackles of being simply tied and bound by the shackles of the drive of indulging in materialism. That is the terminology of Asurais, Aloshin from Desu Asurim. He is bound, he's connected, it looks like someone is chained. And in such a situation, the Efshalahem lost his slave El Hamaisa. And therefore one would not be possible to pay attention to one's actions. Because if your mind is not on what you're really supposed to be doing right, then certainly you're not able to observe and be aware of what you are doing. And therefore, our Chachomim, being that they were aware of that, and they saw that, Amru, therefore we find in Pirkei Avos, Chachomim have said, have a memayit be'esik va'asoik b'toyre. Chazal said that a person should basically limit your involvement in other areas, va'asoik b'toyre, and see that you should be able to learn Torah. So have a memayit be'esik. Ramchal is the first one to say that a person, of course, has to earn a livelihood. You cannot tell a person, don't make a living. He says, Kihine ho'esik, certainly the idea of being involved in earning a livelihood, being involved in the world of business, he says, of course, he says, it's morchech u'liyodom etzorech panasosoy. It is essential where a person needs it in order to be able to live and board to sustain his family and himself. However, what Chazal mean to say, have a memayit basic, ach ribui ho esik einoy mukhrech. On the one hand, we know, yes, b'zeh sapecho toich alechem, there's no way without it. But the degree and how much and how far one overextends oneself, that already is not part of this. So on the one hand, there is a definition, there is an idea, and there is a need. There's a necessity for a person to be oisik in esik l'sor panasosoy. But ribui ho esik, but this does not necessitate that a person should overly indulge and should increase a person's involvement. To the extent that he should not have any time or any place for his avodas Hashem, doing mitzvahs, learning Torah. Alken it's tavino, and therefore, to counter this, we have avada, we've been commanded that a person has to designate specific times also to learn Torah. So avada navada, there's an inyan of being oisik be'isik, but at the same time, one also has a chiv to be koveya itim l'toyre. And as a matter of fact, this is pointed out in all the Balamusar and all the Svarim HaKdoshim, the Sifra Chasidus and the Sifra Balamusar as well, that we know when it comes to Torah, of course we are told, and the Chachomim have mentioned it in many, many different places, that we know yogati motzosi tamin, that yigiyas ha-Torah, the toil and the effort that you put into learning, is something which is not just admirable, but the more effort that one puts in, he will be zeichet tisyati dishmaya to be matzliach, to see success in his learning. Yogati umatzosi tamim. Now it's yogati. If a person put in the time and he puts in the effort, so matzosi. And as a result, he finds his matzliach, and he arrives and is able to achieve success. Tamim, we believe him, because yogati. This is only true, yegiyah, the extra effort, the more that one puts in, the more that one sacrifices in limud ha-Torah, there's a direct link between yegiyah and learning and hatzlocha in Torah. The more one is meyageya, the more one puts in the effort, the more one can expect to be matzliach. At the end of the day, to reach greater success and to see promise in his learning. But there's no link with yegiyah and parnosa. A person has to do parnosa, but to think that if he's going to toil extra, or he thinks that because he's going to put in extra overtime, or he's going to eat and sleep and drink his business, that's a direct link in his hatzlocha, that's not so. Because as far as the parnosa of the person, that's min hashomayim very clearly. Mezonosav shalodom is kitzuvim loy, as the Gemara tells us. That the parnosa of the person, his livelihood, this is already fixed from Rosh Hashanah. Of course, we have to do ishtadlus, you don't sit back and do nothing. You have to do what you have to do. But the more you give, thinking that the more that I'm going to put in time after time after time and devote my entire life, you know, for the sake of Parnosa, this will guarantee that I'm going to have more. Obviously, we see it's not so. Right? You see people who work and work and work, and they have very little to show for it. Then you have other people who work much less, and yet they have much more. Whatever the reasons are, but the link of Yegiyah with Parnosa has nothing to do with one another. That's what he's trying to point out, that Ribuy Ho'esek Eina Mukhrech. The Ribuy Ho'esek, the idea that a person is going to increase his involvement in worldly matters, that's not necessary at all. And on the contrary, that's why, as a matter of fact, we have the special commandment that a person should also set time for Limud HaTorah. So now, continues Ramchal, and he says, Kfar Zacharnu, we have already mentioned previously, Shehi HaMitztareches Yoyser LeYodom, that more than anything, to acquire the Midah of awareness, to acquire the Midah of diligence, more than anything in order to reach that goal is Torah, is the study of Torah, the learning. The Shehagia El HaZahirus, in order to be able to reach this Madrega of Zahirus, that's why he says it's Mitztareches Yoyser. This is what is needed most, which is the most essential for attaining the Maila of Zahirus, is Limud HaTorah. Ukimama Rapinches, as we find Rapinches says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Torah is mevi all the days of Zahirus. Ramchal interprets this not merely Torah will bring you right to the middah of Zahirus, will bring you to the middah of vigilance, but rather it means only Torah. This is what Ramchal wants to point out. You see the inyim, because looking at the memra, you know, from outside in, yes, Torah will bring you to the middah of Zahirus. It's not enough. It's not enough that Torah will bring you. What you have to read is only Torah. That's why Ramchal says, Shehi mitztareches yoyser. That's his akdoma. It is Torah which is the most essential, l'shiagi el hazahirus, to be able to come to this midah of watchfulness and awareness, to live a life of awareness. The midah of zahirus is through the study of Torah. V'zulasa, and without it, if you have no study of Torah, l'yagi el of klal, so then a person would not at all be able to attain the midah of Zahirus. In other words, quite simply, when he says Torah mevi'el de Zahirus, we have to understand, he does not mean, when he says that it is Torah which brings a person to Zahirus, it means that each and every yid has to be a giant in Torah. Sadly, very few can consider themselves to be giants in Torah. So when the Ramchal says it is Torah mevi'el de Zahirus, it means, it's obvious, first of all, the more you know, the more you'll be able to make progress. That goes without saying. Yes, the more you know, the more progress you'll make. What he means is, Torah Mevila De Zahirus, it means you must be in contact with learning. Doesn't mean necessarily you have to be a great giant in learning. Not everybody is. But Torah Mevila De Zahirus means you have to be in contact with learning. And that contact is going to open your eyes to let you recognize the truth about yourself and the truth about the world. So Torah brings a person to Zahirus. Torah is the stimulus that causes a person to become aware of the great truth of the world. That's what Torah may be all the day Zahirus. It is through the contact of Torah. Simple example for this would be, when a person is not in contact with Torah, if he's not in contact with Torah, he's immersed entirely in materialism. Even, by the way, if he's an observant Yid, he's an observant Jew, he's a frum Jew, but his life is Olam Hazeh. Sounds ironic. An observant Jew and his life is Olam Hazeh. No contradiction. You can be a Yid who's involved in all the mitzvahs and yet you're living a life of Olam Hazeh, because that's all he knows. This world, that's what he knows. The world, you have to realize, is only a preface to the world to come. The real existence is in the afterlife. And when a person walks all of his life in the path of Gashmius, in the path of materialism, and he doesn't think at all about his eventual existence, so basically he's walking in darkness. But when you're in contact with Torah, then we are constantly reminded that there is a world to come. So that's one aspect of it. The idea of Torah may reveal the days of Hiris, that a person should be aware what his purpose in life is. It's not enough merely to be an observant Yid, be an observant Jew, but you have to have contact with learning. And thereby he'll understand what his whole purpose is, and his focus in life will be the next world, not this world. Another example, when he says, Torah mevi'a lidei zehiras, if you walk on the street, and even among frum Jews, yes, you can forget about Hashem. You just don't think about it. Which means to say, that even if you think about Jewish customs, even about Jewish observances, and yet Hashem as a reality does not play a part in one's life. You can be loyal, and you can conform, but where is Hashem? You don't think about Him. The truth is, you don't devote time at all to thinking about Hashem, but by being in contact with Torah, you're constantly reminded. Any pasuk in Chumash, it's Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, Vayoyimer Hashem el Moshe. Always, always, constantly the Torah reminds us of the most important of all principles, and that is to be aware of Hashem. So how can people live all their lives and almost never think about Hashem? And so we see that in order to be aware of the reality of life, it's impossible unless you're in contact with Torah. This is basically what Ramchal here is telling us. Vizuloso lo yagia elov klal. That without Torah, he says, a person will not be able to attain this. And that, in fact, is what Chazal have told us. The Mishnah says, Veloya amoretz chosid. That someone who is an amoretz, someone who is ignorant of learning, someone who does not learn, someone who is not in contact with learning, cannot really be a chosid, cannot really be a pious person. And as he points out now, how this works. Vizeh. He says, I want you to understand, Ki aboiri is baruch shemoi, Shibora Yetzer Hara Biyodom. He is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, basically he was the one who created the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, of course, is the evil inclination. These are the drives. These are the drives that we have, the physical drives and all of the things that make us want to do the things. So the Yetzer Hara is who Shibora, the same Habayri Yisbarach, the same Boir Olam, the same creator that created the Yetzer Hara. He is the one that created the Torah as Tavlin Loi. The Torah is the antidote. B'Shomer Zechoyin L'Vrochas, Chazal say Mesechtes Kiddushin. Barosa Yetzer Hara, because Yibrochas says, on the one hand, I've created the Yetzer Hara, but at the same time, Barosa Loi Torah Tavlin. But I also created the Torah to be the antidote. And here are the famous words of Ramchal, quoted many, many times by Bala Musar. And he goes on to explain to you. If Chazal have told us that Hashem is telling us, I created the Yetzer Hara, but I also created Torah as the antidote. What it means to say is that there is no other Eitzah. There is no other Eitzah to fight and combat. There's no other ammunition to fight your Yetzer Hara unless you have contact with learning. Barasa Yetzer Hara, I created the Yetzer Hara, and I created the antidote. You can't create your own antidote, as he points out. Yefshe bishum ponem sheirofe ho'odom mezois hamako. It is impossible that a person should be able to heal himself from this disease, if you will, called Yetzer Hara, bilti zoysa refua, unless one takes this medicine. This is the cure. Umi sheyachshov lehinotzel zuloso. And a person who basically thinks or expects that he can save himself other ways, einoy elo toya, is mistaken, is clearly making a mistake, and unfortunately, he may not realize the mistake until it's too late, until he leaves this world in sin, as he says. And ultimately, he'll perceive his mistake at the end of his days, when he leaves this world. Because you have to understand, he says, you have to realize that the Yetzer Hara is very powerful within man. And without you even realizing it, he says, the Yetzer Hara progressively becomes more powerful, and eventually rules over him. Which means the Yetzer Hara starts with little things, and when he gains the upper hand, he gets his foot into the door, then he moves in a little closer, and so on, and so forth. As Gemara tells us, that the beginning, the Yetzer Hara is basically like an areyach, like a guest. Now you open the door to let him in, ultimately, he becomes a very frequent guest. At the end, he becomes the balabais, he becomes the host, and you turn into the guest. He becomes and he rules over you. And this happens slowly, little by little, progressively. He becomes more powerful and more powerful. And even if you try any type of a cure, you try any type of a strategy in the world, But you don't take the proper refuah, you don't take the proper antidote, which is he a Torah, k'moshe kasafti, which is the Torah. You will not even be aware the worsening of your sickness. Only he says, when the time comes, you'll leave this world, the Toivet Nishmosoi, and unfortunately at that time, his Nishama already will be lost. Will destroy his soul, destroy his Nishama. As a matter of fact, the Sefer Be'er Yosef points out, Rabbi Yosef Salant, one of the great Magidim in Yerushalayim, points out in the Sefer Be'er Yosef, that's also very possible, the idea of the balance, Barosa Yetzahara, Barosa Le'Toyra Tavlin. We know that the Gemara tells us regarding the Yetzahara, not only one Chazal in Masechtas Kedushin that Yitzroi Shalodom is Mizgaber Olav B'chol Yoyim, that the Yetzahara tries to overpower man each and every day, does not rest, continuous battle. But the Gemara also tells us even more, that Yitzroi Shalodom Mizchadish Olav B'chol Yoyim, that he comes in new ways. So even if you figured out one way to block the power of the Yetzahara in a particular area, so the Yetzahara now tries a new way. There's always new strategies. Yetzahara continuously plans, and figures out new and new ways to try to find the weakness, what your particular weakness is, and then to be able to move in and to strike. That's the Yetzahara. That's what he was created for. That is the test of man. But we were given ammunition. And ammunition is the Torah. The Torah is the antidote to the Yetzahara. Now the Be'er Yosef suggests, you know, by Torah, we know that the highest quality of Torah is, of course, your God to your Matzosi. That the Torah one really puts in the koyach and puts in the effort, and one is mechadesh chedusha Torah, and is able to bring up novel ideas, that is able to see new things in the Torah. Chedusha Torah. But Yosef suggests chedusha Torah is keneged the yitzro shalodah mischadesh sholod b'chol yoyim. That the antidote, the yitzhahara, to fight off, the fact that yitzhahara finds new ways. So what's the way to battle the Yetzirah's new ways? You also come with Chidushim. Yetzirah comes with Chidushim in his, right? In his profession. And you come with Chidushim in Torah. So that's the Chidushim Torah, Barosa Yetzirah, Barosa Torah Tavlin. The Chidushim Torah stand connected to correspond, connected the Yetzirah Shalodim Schadish. So the Chidush of the Yetzirah, they find new Chidushim, you also fight them off with Chidushim. But your Chidushim will be Chidushim Torah. And as a matter of fact, what we have to understand, the interesting Lashon, which we'll mention a little bit later again, Chazal said something interesting. Barosa Yetzahara, it's a very peculiar choice of words. On the one hand, I created a Yetzahara, but I created also a Torah as a Tavlin. Tavlin is a spice. Tavlin is a spice. Now, Tavlin is a spice. You know, spice is something to make, right? To make the main taste better, right? So what's the point? Is the Torah here a tavlin, a spice to the Yetzirah, to make the Yetzirah better, taste better or something? I mean, you're saying Torah is a tavlin. Tavlin is something that spices up the food. That's what a tavlin is. Tavlin are spices. So the Torah is a spice to the Yetzirah. We interpret it because it really means in depth, it means an antidote. But the choice of words, using the word tavlin literally means, it's a type of a spice. So if it's a spice, why are you calling the Torah a spice to the Yetzirah? How does that fit? Sefer Pikoyin is a certain Sefer. He points out that we see even more than that. The strength that Torah has against the Yetzirah is not merely to destroy the Yetzirah. That alone is tremendous. We have a power to destroy the Yetzirah. It doesn't say that Torah just has the power to destroy the Yetzirah. It can do even more. In the same way that Tavlin, what is the tafkid of Tavlin? Tavlin, of course, is to enhance the taste of the meat, right? Or to enhance the taste of the food. Through Torah, the Torah can take the Yetzirah, spice it up, turning it from bad into good. In other words, the energies that the Yetzirah is using in order to cause a person to be chayte, you can channel those energies and turn them in the positive direction. So when a person has particular kaychas, a person has a certain drive, but instead of driving on the wrong road, and taking the wrong exit, which the Yetzirah is trying to drive him in that direction, trying to guide him in that direction, to the Koyach of Torah, he's able to take that energy and to take that drive and to utilize it and transform it into good. A person has creativity powers. Instead of using his creativity powers for negative purposes or for evil purposes, that the Koach Torah is able to transform them, to use those talents, and so on and so forth for the positive. So in fact, Torah is the Tavel. It's not merely destroying the Yetzirah, but it's really conquering the Yetzirah and making the Yetzirah now work for you. Instead of heretofore the Yetzirah trying to destroy you, we can take the energies of the Yetzirah and fuel them and to turn it into a positive. So to be able to use the Yetzirah, that should help him. Yetzirah should help him to be able to be an Oved Hashem in a better way and in a greater way. That's one of the ways which is understood that Torah is a Tavla. It's not really a destroyer. It's not really something that destroys the Yetzirah, which is a tremendous thing as well. Get rid of the Yetzirah. But even greater than that is the Torah is able to turn around the Yetzirah, to turn the energies of the Yetzirah into a positive, turn the negative into a positive. So we go further, says Ramchal now. Holom is a daimer. So Ramchal says, I want you to know again. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I created the Yetzirah, and I'm telling you that the only antidote is the Torah. In order for you to understand and appreciate what I'm saying, says Ramchal, Holom is a daimer, this is daimer, he says, L'choyle. Imagine a sick person, Shedorash Bereifin. You have a sick person who consulted doctors. V'ikiru Cholyoy. And doctors have diagnosed an illness. And doctor, being a professional, says to the chayla, says to the sick person, v'omru loy sheyikach sama. Doctor prescribes a particular medicine. V'hu. Now imagine if a chayla tries to be smarter than the doctor. He has no idea about medicine. Right? Does not have any knowledge about it. So he decides, you know what? I'm going to take my own medicine. I'll make up my own medicine. How do you expect it to work? It's obvious. Everybody understands it can't work. Because this particular machla needs this refuah. You can't decide to make up your own refuah. So he says, v'hu, imagine if the choyla mebilti shetug b'gam lo yediyah. A choyla who has no knowledge b'meleches refuah. Imagine if this choyla does not have any knowledge in medicine. Yaniach hasam, he'll decide, he'll leave the prescription that the doctor gave him, right? Yaniach hasam ahu, v'yikach ma sheyale b'machshavtoi min hasamim. He'll decide, he'll concoct and make some of his own type of medicine. You know what's going to happen? Halo yom is b'choyli. He'll die in his illness. His sickness will kill him. How about that? It's obvious. Kein adover hazeh. The same thing here. He says, the Yetzirah, this disease called Yetzirah, there's no greater maven on the Yetzirah than Hashem. Hashem created it. Even in our world, right? Somebody who invents an item, there's no bigger maven, right? So imagine someone who invented the automobile the very first time. Probably the one who invented it is the biggest maven on it. He's the biggest maven. He invented it. And he'll tell you exactly what's going to make it work, the best way it's going to work. You can't come up and decide, this is going to be better. The biggest maven is the one who created it. You can't come up with some substitute ideas, unless you'll be the same type of a maven as he is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzirah. And he's telling us that the only refuah against the Yetzirah is the Torah. So how do you expect in any other way to come up with something new, or something else? Ein mi shemakir becholi hayetzahara ubekoichoi hamutveboy eleboiroi sheberoi. There is no one who knows and understands the Yetzirah and the power of the Yetzirah. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created it. The who and he, the creator who created the Yetzirah, he's the Iran who warned us, Sharafu Eloi hi ha-Torah. And he told us also at the same time that Rafu is the Torah. It's like someone gets a book of instructions. Right? You get sort of an appliance, right? You get an appliance and you open up the package and then they give you a book of instructions. So what are you going to decide? I'm not going to follow the book of instructions. I'm going to use the appliance a different way. Guess what? You're going to ruin the appliance. It's not going to work. You have to follow the instructions. Why? Because the company who made the machine are telling you this is the way it works. Hashem created the HR and he's telling you that the only antidote against the HR is going to be told. So how do you expect that you're going to fight off the HR any other way? Why should you even think that's possible? And Taka doesn't work. So that's what he points out. Mi eifo yanicho. So who now will take upon himself to leave it? The yikach ma sheyikach zoloso. And he will take something else other than Torah. Before you point out here something amazing here, in these little words, what Ramchal is trying to say. Ramchal is trying to say, you might say to yourself, okay, I'll use something else instead of Torah. You know what I'll do? I'll do hundreds of mitzvahs a day. It's kvaldik, hundreds of mitzvahs. I'm serving Hashem. Every mitzvah I do, I'm serving Hashem. Hundreds of mitzvahs is not enough. 1,000 mitzvahs is not enough. The Eitzah against the Yetzer Hara is not mitzvahs. The Eitzah against the Yetzer Hara is Torah. That's in depth what Ramchal is saying. That the Yikach Ma'ash Yikach Zolosa. Because obviously, what are you going to take against the substitute of Torah? We get with the Gashmias. Ramchal means to take. Instead of Torah, say, I'll take other Ruchnias. Instead of Torah, I'll choose other Ruchnias. What do you have the Ruchnias? Mitzvahs. It's felt mitzvahs. A lot of mitzvahs. So many mitzvahs a person can do. It's very nice. It's tremendous. You should be doing mitzvahs. Every opportunity. But the zgula of a mitzvah does not have within it the power of refuah to combat your yetzer hara. That is not the inherent zgula of a mitzvah. Every mitzvah has its zgula, what it's geared for, and what it's supposed to be doing. The zgula keneged the yetzer hara, the power and the antidote against the yetzer hara, that is the Torah. As he points out, so if you're going to leave the Torah, v'yikach ma'ashikach zolosa v'yichyeh, and you think that you can be able to substitute it and still be able to live, there's no question that the darkness of this material world will overpower him step by step if you're not in contact with learning. And you will not even understand it. He will not understand it until he already finds himself so, right, entrenched, so in depth, so rooted, the rochik min emes will be so far away from truth, harche godel, will be so far removed from truth, shafilu hirhure devarim lo yalu alibo levakesh emes, that even it will not even occur to him on his mind to think about it. Sometimes a person at least realizes his matzis. He just doesn't know exactly what he's supposed to be doing. But he realizes that he's in trouble. But you'll be so far removed from the truth, you won't even recognize it. And you think that all is well with you. You become so insensitive. Ultimately. However, im oisik b'teire, but if a person in fact will be an oisik b'teire, b'roisid rocheo, you'll become familiar with its ways, tzivuyeo, vazereseo, whether it's the mitzvahs asay, the positive, right, mitzvahs, or the mitzvahs that say, right, the prohibitions, which you're not allowed to do, soif, ultimately, as you are in contact, and you study on a daily basis, you study Torah, this certainly will create and motivate your awareness. This will reawaken the person, the motivation, which to go in the right direction. And it is this that Chazal and the Medrash have told us. Chazal have said, loose translation means, Hashem says, you know what? Even if you leave me, even if you've abandoned me, but don't abandon the Torah. We'll soon explain what that means. But this is the expression of the Medrash. Hashem is saying, halavai, as it were, I would have hoped that even if you're abandoning me, but at least don't abandon my Torah. Shahamoyer shibah, marzir on the mutav. Because the light of Torah will return a person, has the ability to return a person, transform to good. What it means is clearly in the Mefarsha Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, halavai oisi ozvu, means even. If you're not going to be so observant in the mitzvahs, but at least if you'd be involved with study of Torah, there is hope that ultimately that the light of Torah will bring you back. Torah has the koyach to do that. And therefore, a person has to include gamkin kviyas or itim. A person should have specific times set aside. El cheshbon hamas v'tikunoy. Also, to assess a person's actions, that's something that we learn many, many times. That a person has to basically set aside time also to evaluate, take stock of yourself. The same way that you do in your business world, in your material world, right? A person keeps an accounting of what he has, what his debits, what his credits are, what he takes in, what goes out. A person also should have a cheshbon hanefesh, he says. K'vanshkastavti lamalo, as I pointed out above. And one more little paragraph, and then we'll stop at this nekuda, and we'll discuss what he's saying a little bit more extensively. Muvat kol zeh. And apart from this, says Ramchal, he says, if he's wise, so whenever you have available time, okay, so you're setting aside time for your business. What do you do after business? What do you do after that? When you have time available after your business, if you're wise, you will not destroy it, but rather, you will seize it, right, with a seriousness. Take all the time available and utilize it. Lasik boy basic nafshoy v'tikun avedosoy, to find perfection and spiritual growth in one's life. About 100 years ago, at the turn of the century, the previous century, beginning of the 20th century, by the 1900s, the guy in the Ritbaz, Rabbi Yankiv David Ritbaz, was a Rav in Slutsk, the author of the Perish Ritbaz and the Yerushalmi. The Ritbaz, Rabbi Isai, was a Rav in Slutsk, was on the Gedoyla Hador, tremendous memory. Rabbi Yitzchak Kochonon was very spoiled from the Ritbaz. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Zalman used to say, Zalman, Baron Kotler Shver, to say that a mind like the Ritbaz comes along every now and then after many generations. Ritbaz, basically, Nukolato Rekula Balpe, he had left Europe for a while, he came to Chicago, and he saw the situation going back, you know, in the beginning of the early 1900s. The Yiddishkeit there was very weak at the time, and even the butchers who sold the meat could not trust their kashrus. They were not Shabbos observant, and so on and so forth, and he tried as much as he put all his koyach and put his life, his nesham into it. He saw that these people will never change. So he left with a heavy heart, and he saw that he can't do anything to change the situation. As a matter of fact, he wrote about it in the Hagdom of one of his Sforim, to wrote about the low matzif, the way the situation was at that time. And he came to New York, and he gave a droshim, it was known, many people who are familiar with his side, the Pike Street Shul. So he gave a droshim, the Pike Street Shul, many, many years ago now. And what he said was, concerning the posik ner mitzvah v'toyreh or. Shomel says in Mishlah, ner mitzvah, that the mitzvahs and the Torah are compared to an air, to a candle, and to a light. So he said, you know what it means, ner mitzvah v'toyreh or? He said, you know, he says, there used to be a time, hundreds of years ago, you could have a little town, he says, and you have, find the Eden, you have good Jews, not Amina Chachomim, not very learned people, but they are Yidden that they were called Mitzvah Yidden. Mitzvah Yidden means that they were very, very early, very meticulous in Shemiras HaMitzvahs, Kashrus, Shabbos, Taras HaMishpocha. They would be Mechabed Talmud Chochom, but they themselves were not learned people. And you know what? It worked for them. It worked for them. However, said the Ritbaz, today, this is what he said in New York, over 100 years ago, but today, he says, there's no such thing as a mitzvah yid. It's either a Torah yid or no yid at all. You can't just be a yid, he said, a mitzvah yid. It's either a Torah yid or bechlal nishka yid. And he explained it with a moshul. Ner mitzvah. A mitzvah, he says, is like a ner, a candle. What are the characteristics of a candle? You light a candle, it'll burn perfectly fine. You know when? If the window is closed and there's no wind blowing in. If the window is closed and it's not being attacked by the elements, a candle can burn right, as long as it's capable of burning. It'll burn. It's fine. However, he says, the moment you open up a window and you allow air, wind, storm, blows out the candle. It can't exist. Fire is not like that. Fire, unfortunately, when you have a fire burning, and then it comes a strong wind. Instead of extinguishing the fire, just the opposite. It charges it. It fuels it up. It flares it up. It causes the fire even to burn even stronger. And the fire overpowers and utilizes the energy of the wind, right? The raging wind. And instead of being extinguished, it all the more grows and grows and grows. Said Ritbaz like this, Ner Mitzvah. At the time when Jewish communities with small little villages and isolated, certainly you're not exposed to the media and stuff like you have today, but a very, very small world in those days. So you can raise a family and you have a Jewish community, you know, not really exposed much to what's going on in the world. Mitzvah yidin. It can be a mitzvah yid. Ner mitzvah. It could be a mitzvah yid like a ner. Because you're not being exposed, he says, by all the wild winds and the false ideas and all of the various temptations that you're being attacked by. He said, but when you're living in a time, and that he was talking about in America 100 years ago, he said, when you're living in a time, he says, when we are exposed to all of the elements, we are confronted, he says, with all the different views, we are confronted with all the temptations, and there's everything, the fierce winds, he says, of false ideas which are contrary to the ideas of Torah. If you're only a mitzvah yid, you're like a candle, it'll extinguish you. But if you have Torah, then Torah is an or. Torah is not just a candle, Torah is or. It's a fire that burns. And even if you're exposed to elements, and even if you have the fierce winds, and you have the dangerous storms blowing in, which are contrary, which are tempting, nevertheless, he says, that's the koich of Torah. This is Barosi Yetzohar, Barosi Le Torah Tavlin. This is what Radbaz pointed out. Interesting thing, the Chofetz Chaim wrote, the Gabi which the Ramchal mentioned, have a mamayit be Esek, he says. Be mamayit with Esek. And be Esek be Torah. A person should not indulge overly much, he says, in worldly matters. But set aside time for learning as well. Chofetz Chaim points out, he says, being that it's necessary for a person to be Oisek in Parnosa. So Chofetz Chaim says a wonderful thing. He says, even if a person only, let's say, learns 1 hour a day, but he says the 8 hours a day that he works for his Parnosa, whatever is the accepted amount of time that a person needs to put in order to make a Parnosa, he says he gets schar for that too. He gets reward for that too. Because in order to live in this world, he has to work for Parnosa. And being that he shows that his life, his purpose in life, is even though it's only that 1 hour of learning, but that becomes his mainstay in life. He has to work more hours a day because in order to be able to survive, this is what he has to do. So now he gets char for also for the 8 hours that he's not learning. But if a person, he says, instead of setting away time for learning, he spends time in Esek, just working and working and working, so he says, so now he's being held accountable even for the time that he works as well, because he's not working for a purpose. He's just working for pure materialism. So it points out very interesting. So if a person sets a time for study, time for learning, and his avodas Hashem, so now even for the chelik of the day that he's not actively being, right, oisik in Torah, he's not actively being oisik in avodas Hashem, he gets schar for that as well. As Chaim's Loshin is, he says, in batalto mina Torah, yesh lo harbe bitulim kenegdecha. Know what he means? If you bottle mina Torah, harbe bitulim means, so the time that you're working is also called bitul. You see, if you set aside time for learning, so then the time that you're working is not called bitul Torah, because you're working to survive and to be able to do the right thing. But in batalto mina Torah, but if you're not learning Torah at all, you're being mevatel from Torah. So if you're not learning Torah at all, so the work that you're doing is not for the purpose of Torah. So Mamela, that's also considered Bittul Torah. But if you do set aside time for learning, then the time that you're working is not Bittul Torah, he says. That's the Kavan of the Mishnah, says the Chofetz Chaim. So Salanter also said the same idea. In Bataltum and Atoyah, Yeshto Harbe Bittulim, Kenendecha. What are the Harbe Bittulim? The work hours. That's it. The day, the hours that you're working is considered Bittul Torah. But if you set aside time for learning, that's not Bittul Torah, because you're doing it for the sake of Torah. Fantastic idea. So this is what the Chofetz Chaim basically pointed out. Interesting thing is, Chofetz Chaim talks about practicality. Chofetz Chaim had a son, Rabbi Yaleib. Rabbi Yaleib was involved helping his father also with the Mishneh Berurah when Chofetz Chaim, as a matter of fact, when he wrote the Mishneh Berurah, to be magia, to look over, to see if there's no mistakes and so on in the printing and as follows. He assisted his father. Rabbi Yaleib did a bit of writing also of his memories. Of course, his relationship with his father, he had tremendous insight, many things that we would not have known, other than as a son who lives with his father and sees things that the world outside would not be privy to. So he says, I remember, it says, as I was a young boy, he says, my father would many, many times would rebuke me for the fact that I was learning, he says, but I would also, somebody would come over to me in the middle of learning and to schmooze with me. So I stopped learning and I would schmooze with him. Of course, it took away time of my study session, took away time of my learning. Because I felt it is not etiquette if someone comes over to you and say, hey, I'm learning now. So he says, my father, Chofetz Chaim, gave me very simple moshul. He says, I want you to imagine Think of a successful businessman standing behind the counter with a long line of customers, right? Actively involved in business. And he's standing behind the counter, the owner of the business, right? Standing behind the counter, waiting on his customers. And while he's in the middle, right? While he's in the middle making sales, sale after sale with the customers as they move up, an old long-lost friend happens to walk in. He says, "Oh, let's have a shmooze." You know what you'll say to him? "I'm busy now with business. We'll meet on the lunch hour. Or maybe we'll meet after hours." You're not going to have any problem to say to him, "Look, I'm in the middle of business. I have customers waiting. I can't spend time talking to you." So it's acceptable, right? It's acceptable to say that. If you're involved in business, it's acceptable. You can't break your business to say that idle chatter, just to have time to talk. It's acceptable. It's not considered to be something that's against their cheres. What do you mean? In the middle of business, you come to talk to someone who's in the middle of the business. Imagine a CEO of a company in the middle of the business meeting. And someone calls on the phone and says, "I'd like to talk to you for 10 minutes, an old friend." He says, "That's an old friend, am I good? Look, I'm off at 1 o'clock, we'll talk as much as you want." Not in the middle of a business meeting. Well, Chaim says, the time that you set aside for learning, say the same thing. Talk to you later. This is not my time that I'm setting aside for learning. There's no spirit to mid of derech eretz, if you really understand what it means, the cheshivas of the time that you're setting aside for learning. Mr. Zalman, there's a sefer called Baderech Eitz HaChaim. The sefer Baderech Eitz HaChaim is basically a sefer that was written about the life of Rabbi Zalman. Mr. Zalman writes there that the Chofetz Chaim said also a new pshat. In the quote that Ramchal brought down, a person should be mamayit be'isik, should reduce his involvement in worldly matters, and should be isik in Torah. Should be isik in Torah. So Chofetz Chaim says many times, we don't have opportunities to learn. But Chofetz Chaim says, even if I can't be learning, but my isik should be in Torah. What does that mean? Mr. Zalman pointed out that I once came to the house of the Chofetz Chaim. It was after the Mishabruras were printed. And they needed to be distributed. Hey, it's not like today. You have to distribute a sefer. It was a big deal to get Svarim, to get them around, to distribute Svarim. The mode of travel was different. Mode of communication was different. And you know what? Chofetz Chaim used to do a lot of it by himself. Chaim used to do a lot of it by himself. As a matter of fact, he would package the Svarim that had to be sent out. He would package them. Place 10, 15 in a package, wrap them around, and tie it with a string and so on and so forth. I can tell you, I remember, I believe it was 1969. I think it was the first time that I was in Eretz Yisrael at that time, 1969. And went to see the stipler, Zichrono Livracha, went to see the stipler. One of the advantages, certainly for me, learning in Koilo, is the Koilo Gemara wants to buy Sfarim. Sfarim are sometimes quite expensive. In Eretz Yisrael, they were much, much cheaper. Even today, they're cheaper. Svarim and Eretz Yisrael much, much cheaper. So basically, I remember buying Svarim for a few $100. Different Svarim stores. Svarim days are here and there. But what I do, you can't. How do you get Svarim home? Can't take him with you. So every 20 Svarim or so that I bought, I managed to make packages and took them to the post office. And I would send them off. So I came to the stipler and I asked that I want to buy the Svarim. He asked me which. We went by writing because he wasn't able to hear. So his communication was with writing. So he said, but he would speak. But when you answered, you have to write down the answer. He says, "Velche?" He says, "Kala." All the Svarim. Okay. So he goes and he brings all the Svarim. The safe, the Svarim, Kehilas Yankiv. He brings all of the Svarim. So he brings the Svarim. And so I said to him that I usually want to send it away. So he says, because he gave it to me with paper, wrapped with paper. I said, "I want to send it away." So he says, "Oy bazoi. Daftir hob mich trick." It means you need string. He said, "I guess I do." So he goes back into the kitchen, I don't know where, and he comes back with string. So I take the string and I start to wrap around the string in order to tie a package. And he stands there and he looks at me and he says, "Ihr bint wie a batle." So he's going to show me how you're supposed to bind the package. Instead of the scissors, he had a pair of pliers. And he takes it, he had a lot of string there. And he tore off a piece of string and he took it because I'd been like a professional, like someone packages a package. And this is the way it was. So Zalman says, I'm mentioning it, just reminded myself of this. So Zalman says he comes into the Chofetz Chaim and he says that the Chofetz Chaim was busy binding packages of the Mishnah Brura. So Chofetz Chaim said to him, he saw Mr. Zalman was like looking at him, that he, the Chofetz Chaim, was busy himself tying the package of the Mishaburas, he says, look, it says in others, have a mamayit beyesik, but it says, ba'asoik b'toyre. You know what? Binding packages of Svarim, you're busy with Torah. You could be learning Torah, or making packages of Torah. So as long as you're Asik, your involvement is with Torah. It's a broad state. Asik can be many ways. Asik can be learning with Torah. Asik means involvement, right? Not dafka learning with Torah. So at least if I can't learn Torah, sometimes, but let's keep my Asik should be in fact in Torah. That's an interesting thing. That Rabbi Zalman once said to Rav Shach, he said to Rav Shach, that when the Chofetz Chaim was busy sending away Svarim of the Mishnah Brura, he would say, I'm now being Mekayim Lasek B'Divrei Torah. It's a new interpretation. Lasek B'Divrei Torah. I'm Oisek B'Divrei Torah. So that's not to mean Dafkin learning. And the Mamayit B'Esek that Ramchal quotes, Lasek B'Torah. So a person is really involved with Torah. I have to tell you, clearly Ramchal says, a person should be Oisek in a Parnosa, says Ramchal, but the idea and the notion that one should indulge or be consumed in worldly matters, certainly he said, that is destructive. And Ramchal says, a person therefore has to know that he also has to have time for the day, right, left for some study in Torah. I want to read to you, and this is just phenomenal, everybody knows about the Chayei Odom and the Chochmas Odom, right, which is the authoritative halacha to this day. The Mishnah Berurah, of course, brings down Chayei Odom all over the place. Chayei Odom was a businessman. His name was Avraham Dantzig. And yet, he managed to have the Sadat Hashemai to write a halachic sefer, which is accepted and spread out through an entire Klal Yisrael, and was accepted by all. The Chayei Odom, Chochmas Odom. And he was known as Avraham Dantzig. And he writes as follows. He writes a hakdom in his sefer, that you may indict me, who am I to write a sefer on halacha? Am I sick in business? Belongs to Rabbonim. It belongs to people who totally devote their lives, right? Only for the study of Torah. And I, after all, I am involved in business. So he writes as follows, Hina yodati. I know, says the Chayei Odom, ki yislachshu alai veyoimru. People will start talking. Hagam shol banavim. It's a phrase. Right? Hagam shol banavim. Who am I to step to the plate? Haloizeho ish yodano boy. We know who he is. Meaning himself, he's writing. Haloizeho ish yodano boy. Shohoye misaychre eres le Frankfurt. He even writes where he used to travel. For business. Business trips. It went like today. It's a long, long trip. But to go to Frankfurt, ula Leipzig. Yoyser mechamesh esre shona. 15 years I was Oisek in business, he writes. Betoirosa emes nasis. And people will ask the question, so when is he Oisek betoira? And we know the Torah also says Beferish loy me'ever le'yamhi, which means to say she'ena metzuya loy betagronim loy besachronim. Those people are involved, right? Whose life or mind is in the business, they can't be really matzliach in Torah. So dalocha ochi, I want to answer, and I say to you, my brother, to all the readers, he says, the chayodim, kinesiyosi lemerchokim, the fact that I used to take trips in all the distant places, yes, to do business, but I want you to know, it was not to amass fortunes. It was not for Ashiras. He says, is my edus. That even though I was Oisek in business, it's not to amass a fortune. That's not the reason I did it at all. That's all I could have done. This was my lot. It was simply to sustain, support my family. Nothing to do with Ashiras. And I have a Yerusha, he says, from my Ovis, because his father was a great person also. As a matter of fact, his father, as he quotes that, he says, Harav Agodol, Hamefursim B'doiroi L'Tzadik Tomim Reb Shmuel, Bal Mechaber Sefer Nechom HaSiyan, was also Oisek in business. So this Yerusha, he writes, Mavoisa, and so on and so forth. And he writes, Baruch Asher Osoli HaNefesh HaZeh Me'oidi Shloi Le'ehoi B'momen. Never, he said, I had a love for money, ever. And then he writes one more nekuda. The attitude of how a person towards Torah, the dichotomy between Torah, the world of Torah and the world of business. Dalacho ochi, he says, I want you to throw my brother. He limudat Torah, he pu'ulas ha'nefesh v'tol liseo. Limudat Torah has to do with the essence of your being, k'mo shomer chazal, and he loses the following moshel. It's a very interesting thing that the Gemara tells us, You know that alo isha hashim ein dato lehinotza leish. If a woman decides not to get married, if a woman decides not to get married, v'yoshva eser shonim b'lo baal, and she 10 years, she's without a husband, without intention of getting married, Chazal say lo yitei ledoyis. Very difficult for her to have a child. In other words, if many years go by, right, without attempting to have children, without even intending to have children, lo yitei ledoyis. However, v'im dato lehinos elish, but if her mind is to get married eventually, af sheyoshva shonim harbe b'libal, even if many, many years, she was single, but her mind was to get married, the power of the mind, she will be able to have children. So here you have two women, two identical women. Both were not married for many, many years. One will be able to have children and one not. What's the difference? The one who is machshove, who is waiting to get married, hoping to get married, expected to get married, the Gemara says in Yevamos, you can look it up, it's Lamed Daled Omed Aleph, the woman who expected and hoped to get married eventually, she will be able to bear children. Says the Chayodom. He says, this piece says, Nechochmas Odom. Kach Isha Yisraeli. The same thing he says with every Yid. Im Yazo Besa Torah Misyayish Memeno. If you go away from Torah, but you go away from Torah with the idea to abandon Torah. If you go away from Torah and you're Misyayish, then you know what? The Torah moves away from you too. So it goes in both directions. You go in this direction, the Torah goes in the opposite direction. So you go away 1 mile in this direction, Torah goes, it's already 2 miles between you and the Torah. Because just as you go away 1 mile, the Torah also goes away. The Torah is Misrachekes. Very difficult for rejuvenation, he says. But let's say he never abandoned Torah. But the reason is he's an oinus. No fault of his own. He's not capable. You can't just sit and learn all the time. Right? So therefore, because of the parnosa and because of his situation, he has these constraints. Chaz v'shalom that the Torah will leave you. The Torah waits as a widow for you to come back to her. And the Torah will allow you. The Torah will allow you the time of afsoke, that you are going away. Because the Torah knows that you want to come back, that you want to come back. So as long as your mind is back to the Torah. So Amela, this is what the Chayodom is telling us. He says that even a person that is Oisik in Asik, even Oisik in his world of business, Kacho Marti Ani Alatzmi, says the Chochmas Sodom. Therefore, this is what I say about myself. Now look what he says. Look at his amazing words, and this is tremendous chizik for everybody. He says, Hagam Shenosati Lemerchokim, even though I traveled to faraway places, Vohayisi Soicher, Af Chochmosi Yomdali, but my Torah never left me, he says. You know why? Because whenever I traveled away, Dati Oleho, my mind was always on the Torah. Ubi Yeshivosi Bachanus, and when I sat in the store, he had a store also, he tells us. He had a store. Chayodom had a store. Ubi Yeshivosi Bachanus, Dati Oleho. Vetesali, he says, and I want to tell you, like I promise you, Shafila Bishas Maso Matan, that even while I was actively doing business, my mind was on a kashe or on a pshat in a posuk. Even while I was mamish doing business. So he says to you, Kayamti biatzmi, the posuk in Mishle, al tazveo, vitishmorecho, oihaveo, vitzorcha, the Torah will protect you. So here's what the Chayodom, this is the idea. So it's not so much how many hours is he able to learn, where is his mind at the time that he is not oisik b'Torah. So have a mamayit b'yisik. Right? Don't overly indulge. Do what you have to do. But your mind should always be on Torah. And I have to tell you in conclusion that Reb Shloim Eger, the son of Reb Akiva Eger, was a goyin olam in his own right. He was not always a rov. As a matter of fact, look in the Tshuvis Reb Akiva Eger, where you have correspondence between father and son, Reb Akiva Eger and Reb Shloim Eger. And I tell you that if you do not look at the bottom, at the chasima, the signatures, it's difficult to discern which tshuva was written by Rabbi Kaver or Reb Shloim Eger. The Galus of Reb Shloim Eger. You wouldn't be able to tell. A goyin in his own right. Shloim Eger was in business many, many years. Shloim Eger was in business. And Shloim Eger says, I was Mekayim, Yofet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. And he writes that he had a tremendous thing, that even though He was always in business, but the moment that he had time, he would go back to his Torah, to his learning, Be'iyun, and know what he said? I didn't have to start learning the sugya over again. The moment that I had time, even though there was a break for business, he says, B'chol zois, he says, I had koyach lahamshich b'limudoi, tekef ma'oysa mokim shehifsik. So what happens is, look what he writes, look what's written. Vahi ayoyim. Shlom Eger finds himself in Warsaw, in Warsaw. At that time, the Rav was a well-known personality, Reb Chaim Davidson. Reb Chaim Davidson was the Rav of Warsaw. And he says, Chaim Davidson asked him, Ketzad yuchal linoi kimin hogoi. How are you, Reb Shlom Eger? I don't understand, he says. You're in the middle of a sugya, you're in the middle of the depth of learning, be'iyun. And then there's a break, right? Could be days sometimes, or whatever the situation is, where you stop learning, and you come back, you're able to pick up exactly where you left off, without having to go over again. You have to start from scratch. How is it possible, he says. So he answered, Zuhi Birchasav. This is a bracha I received from my father, Bikiv Eger. He says, Shebirchani koidim shichnisani lechupa. Listen, before I went under the chupa, Shlom Eger says that. Before I went under the chuppah, I received a bracha from my father, Bikiv Eger. V'koy dibur elai lemor, b'ni chavivi. Yoytza ato ke'eis mebeisim reshusi. You're now leaving my house in my reshus. You're getting married. V'nichnas ato lebeis givirin. Yishver, so it was a wealthy house, beis choysnecho. Yizdam mushom lefanecho asokim rabin. I know you're going to encounter a lot of different businesses, sheyigrimu lecho, which will cause you lehafsik milimudcho. Hey, lecha birchasi, I give you my bracha, said Reb Kiv Eger to Reb Shloim Eger, that miyad kishitoshuv lelimudcha, lo titztarech la'amol, you wouldn't have to toil, lechapesh ula'ayin mimokim shischalto, el yehei bekoichacho lehamshich mimokim sheposakto, ubezeh tovei bisholom al mekoimcho. But omnom kein, and this is the way it was, Shloim Eger writes, Kani mutrad mikol pino. I'm so busy from all corners. Ad shubazeh ani medaber. With one person I talk. Vezeh bo basokim shoinim. Vani doilig. And I'm able to skip after everything. Upoiseach milimud lasokim. Masokim lilimud. Learning business limud. Back and forth. The idea. How a person can find harmony in both areas and in both spheres. And I just tell you that Rav Shach's son-in-law, Meir Tzvi Bergman. Meir Tzvi Bergman, Talmud Chacham, big Talmud Chacham in his own right, in his youth, as a bocher, growing up as a bocher, he used to sleep by the Chazon Ish. That's a poshet. As a bocher, he used to sleep in the house of the Chazon Ish. He says, during that time, he also became a ben bayis, by a well-known big Talmud Chacham by the name of Rav Yeruchim Karelnstein. They used to do my laundry. Came very close to that family. He was a bocher. They used to do my laundry. As a matter of fact, he says he got sick. He took ill a particular time, and that's where he was. They nursed him back to health. The family Karelnstein. After that, he says, I left to learn in the yeshiva, Lomji yeshiva at that time, which is still today in Petach Tikva. But at that time, all the great people learned in Lomji. Reb Chaim Kanevsky was the Talmud of Lomji Yeshiva as well. Lomji Yeshiva in Petach Tikva. Reb Meir Tzvi Bergman also was the Talmud of the Yeshiva in Petach Tikva. He says, but a year later, a relative of the Karelnstein family, came to send the Shliach that they had a baby boy. And they told me about the bris. That's why they sent the Shliach. I should know that there's a baby boy who was born, there's a bris going to be there. Being that I was so close to the family, so I felt, I'm going to go to the bris. Not only that, I also felt a koras hatoyv to the family. They used to do my laundry. He says, and they nursed me back to health. Especially they sent the shliach. So they sent the shliach that the baby boy was born, so I'm going to go to the bris. So Meli says, I got up early in the morning, and I davened. And I traveled. The bris was supposed to be in a place called Pardes Katz. And I come to Pardes Katz, and from there, actually, he says, I walked by foot till I came to the bris. I come in, who's there? The Chazon Ish is there. Chazon is there at the bris. Chazon Ish is wrapped in his talis, and they were ready to bring in the baby. I gave Shalom Aleichem to Chazon Ish, and I was ben bayis by the Chazon Ish. I slept by the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish asked me, what are you doing here? I didn't understand the question, so I said, I came to the bris. The Chazon Ish asked me again, what are you doing here? Didn't have the question. So I thought that maybe he wants to know what my shaychus is to this bris. So I explained to him, I'm very close to the family, I'm very close to the mishpochet. And they sent me a shliach to not tell me about the bris, so I felt on a Christ to come. Chazon Ish asked me again, so what are you doing here? I still don't understand the question. Meantime, they already brought in the baby, and he said, Baruch Haba, and the Chazon Ish now asks me again, what are you doing at the bris? And I understood his kavana, and I asked the Chazon Ish, do you mean I should go back to yeshiva? And the Chazon Ish said, yes, and I left before the bris. The baby was here already. These are cheshivas. You have an idea what it meant. If you have an extra moment, to be able to utilize that extra moment, the most productive way. And here we see from all of these Gedolei Yisrael, of course we are not in those madregas, but at least we see what there is left to aspire to, and to come a little bit closer. Therefore, when we're learning now the Ramchal, we get this Osiris, and hopefully we get the motivation to be able at least to set a little bit our goals, the bar a little bit higher. If we have the will and we have the true Rotzen, then Bez Hashem will have the Satishmaya to be able to hoist of chayil, takin limud ha-Torah, and to be matzliach in every area of our Yiddishkeit as well.